The following program is sponsored by the Islamic Media Foundation, sharing the guidance of Allah through broadcast media and the internet. This is IBN, the Islamic Broadcasting Network. The following program is sponsored by the Islamic Media Foundation, sharing the guidance of Allah through broadcast media and the internet.
Right, it's not today, that's just a great show. Yeah, it's the principles of Islam, the basics of Islam. It's a Yusuf Esther, it's just a great show.
Every Friday, 2 p.m.
Islam Today with Yusuf Esther. This is Islam Today with Sheikh Yusuf Esther.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalam rasulullah. This is Islam Today. And your host, Yusuf Estes, will be with you for the next few minutes talking about some of the questions that we've received here at Islam Today from folks like yourself that want to know more about Islam and Muslims and what's going on today. This question that we received is actually a very interesting one and not one that I would expect to find. So when I opened it up, I thought, this one definitely we need to put on the program. It asks, what is the hardest part of being a Muslim? Good question. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalam, rasulullah. I guess before I would try to answer that question, I should define what is a Muslim. And then we could go from there. What is a Muslim? And what makes it easy or hard to be one? Well, the word Muslim comes from the word Islam. The word Islam. So one who does Islam is a mu-Islam, Muslim. The letter mim in the Arabic language is placed before the verb and it represents the one performing the verb, as opposed to the system which is used in the English language where we use the suffix er after a verb, such as talk, walk, think, So in Arabic you use the prefix of mu or the letter mim, and so that's why we say Muslim, one who Islams. That logically brings us to the question, what is Islam? Islam is coming from the root word in Arabic, which is salama. This carries five meanings. When you take the word salama and then bring it to the word Islam, you find five meanings. Very clear, by the way. First of all is to surrender. Second of all is to submit. Third is to obey. Fourth is to be in sincerity. And the fifth is to be in peace, salam. Our words, when we say salam alaikum, mean peace be upon all of you. If it were to only one person, we still say that, by the way. We still say salam alaikum even to one. In any case, if it were singular, it would be assalamu alaik. Salam is the word we're looking at here, and it means a person who is in peace, salam. But the word Islam does not mean peace. It has peace in it, but it doesn't mean peace. It means the action, the verb of doing something. What? Total surrender, complete submission, absolute obedience, perfect, attempting at least to be perfect in sincerity, and then certainly in peace with your Lord. It describes the relationship between the human being and the Creator, Allah. So now let's go back to our original question. What's the hardest part of being a Muslim? What's the hardest part about being a person who surrenders, submits, and obeys in peace and in sincerity their guardian Lord? Well, obviously, it would mean to give up something, wouldn't it? Because in the understanding in the Arabic language for one who worships Allah, he's an abdi, one who abds. Well, what is abd? Well, we use the term Abdullah. Have you heard anybody's name, Abdullah? Well, Abdullah means the servant of Allah. And actually, all of the human beings, in a sense, are submitting to Allah, at least on at least to some extent. But those who totally submit then become what? Muslims. We understand that the obedience to Allah is very, very important. And in this abd, that's what you're doing. You're becoming a servant or slave to the Almighty. And it's hard to give up the things that you like of this earth for the things that you know are better for you, really, in reality, by obeying your Lord. This life for the human being is actually a test. Allah tells us in His book, the Holy Quran, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. And the understanding in the English language is that Allah says He only created all of us for the purpose of worshiping Him alone and without partners. Now this carries over more than just on the Friday prayer, more than just an afternoon of worship, more than some prayers that are offered up or fasting. It carries over into the entire life of the human being and all the things that he says and does, thinks and acts on. All of these things are a part of his ibadah or worship or servantship of the Lord. Because when one is in the true service of the Lord, then he has to do what the Lord has commanded him to do. It means that if Allah ordered you not to do something, you wouldn't do it. And if He ordered you to do something, then you would do it. First of all, you would be judged on what? Whether or not you even tried. Then how hard you tried. Then what was in your heart while you were doing it. Because if you were obeying, but you really didn't want to, it wasn't really in you, this could hardly be counted the same as the one who was totally and completely in submission and doing their best to obey. Some of the tests that we find as a human being are the things that are around us that are very distracting and very lovely for this world, but yet they distract us away from the true worship of the one who created us. Often as not, sometimes people forget who actually created everything. They forget the one who created them. They forget the one who provides for them. Certainly, when you ask people, who created this or that or something else, they will say Allah or God or whatever they call the deity. But yet, when it comes to worship, they'll worship something other than God. It's very easy for the human being to say, okay, the God, a God, the Supreme Being, or something along this order, created all of this, even the food. But yet, when they want to thank somebody for it, they turn and thank other than Allah. People use such things as lucky rabbit foot. They will look to a lucky horseshoe. They're lucky stars. You'll hear them say, knock on wood for good luck. Where are they getting this idea from? Isn't this, in fact, acknowledging some power, some source other than the source which is Allah? So that would be, I would say, the first part of the difficulty of being a Muslim is to actually be a Muslim, to submit to Allah instead of submitting to our desires and to some false gods that are out there. For us as Muslims, we need to always worship Allah alone, being devoted to Him, obeying Him, thanking Him, showing praise to Him, and not to something He created. I want to continue this. I like this subject, and I'm hoping through it I'll become a better Muslim myself. We're going to take a break. We'll be back after these messages. You're listening to Islam Today, and this is your host, Yusuf Estes.
Allahumma alim al-ghayb wa-shahada, fatir al-samawati wal-ard, رب كل شيء ومليكه أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أعوذ بك من شر نفسي ومن شر الشيطان وشركه وأن أقترف على نفسي سوءا أو أجره إلى مسلم.
O Allah, knower of the unseen and the seen, creator of the heavens and the earth, Lord and sovereign of all things, I bear witness that none has the right to be worshipped except You. I take refuge in You from the evil of my soul, and from the evil and shirk of the devil, and from committing wrong against my soul, or bringing such upon another Muslim. The meaning of shirk is to associate others with Allah in those things which are specific to Him.
Okay, we're back and you're listening to Islam Today. The discussion that we're having now is a question that was offered to us earlier in the program. They asked the question, what's the hardest part of being a Muslim? We mentioned that a Muslim is one who tries to do Islam, and Islam means to be in submission and obedience, surrender, sincerity, and peace with Almighty God. So one who does that is a Muslim, or at least tries to do it, is a Muslim. And what makes it hard is, well, we have our own vain desires going for us all the time. Very often we find things in this world that are very distracting and very attracting to us to keep us away from the thing that we're really supposed to do. We should be thinking and thanking about the one who created us. It should be that we would think about our Lord in all that we do. And it should be in our minds and in our hearts that we wouldn't have anything if it weren't for Him. One of the things, especially in the West, that we have a difficulty with is we have so much wealth. Many of us don't think about it because we're comparing ourselves to others who have more wealth than we do. But if we were to consider the conditions of the folks in other countries, we would readily agree that we've got a whole lot more going for us than they do. I was visiting a number of countries over the last few years, and I've come to know that in some places, a simple meal that we have here would be considered a feast in those countries. In fact, I've seen many people, even our Muslim brothers and sisters here in America, throwing away more food in one meal than some of our counterparts, Muslims in other parts of the world, have all day long. To throw away a part of a cucumber, part of an apple, some bread, some rice, and then realize that in other countries, this would have made a complete meal. So, just to remind us that here, especially in the West, we have so much, yet we want so much more. Our Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, told us that if the son of Adam, which means us human beings, were given a mountain of gold, he would want another one just like it. I'll repeat that so you can play it back. Our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us that if the son of Adam, Bani Adam, that's us, the human being, were given a mountain of gold, he would want another one just like it. Can you imagine? Yet it's true. If someone gives us $1,000, we'd be very happy about it, but then we'd wonder what it would be like to have 2,000. If someone gave us $100,000, we would still wonder what it would be like to have 200,000. Even a person who has $1,000,000 wishes that they had more. And a person with $1,000,000,000 still thinks about how to protect it and how to get more. So it's always going to be that the human being has this desire for the worldly things, cars, houses, position, authority, rank, and even the domination over others. And yet this is not the way of a Muslim. The Muslim is supposed to be in submission. How can you be in submission to the Lord and at the same time you're out here oppressing other people? That doesn't make sense. How could it be you're in obedience to God and at the same time you're taking advantage of other people and taking things from them without due course? So these are the things that really make it tough for the Muslim, is to live in a world where we're always being tested with these things. But then after all, that's why we're here. That's why Allah tells us that this life is a test. And He warns us. He warns us very clearly. I'd like to call your attention to chapter 29 of the Quran called Surah Ankabut, the spider. Allah begins it by saying, Alif Lam Mim. These are three letters from the Arabic language. And then He says, what might translate to English, do they think they will be left alone on saying we believe and they won't be tested? For sure, as we tested those before them, we will test them to show them those who are truthful in their truth and those who are liars in their falsehood. So certainly, the idea of just saying I believe is not going to work. It's not sufficient. It means the person has to be tested. Tested and tested. Allah tells us in the Quran, and He will put us through difficulties. But then He tells us also in the Quran, the translation might be as follows. He says, after every difficulty comes ease. For sure, with every difficulty there is ease. Meaning that He's going to test you, but He's going to let you have a little ease and then test you again and more ease. Additionally, Allah says in the Quran, لا يكلفه نفسا إلا وسعها لها ما كسبت وعليها ما كسبت. Meaning that every person will be tested, but not more than they can bear, not more than their soul can handle. And nobody will be tested or held accountable for someone else. We will not carry the burdens of others. Each of us will be on our own for what we've done. Additionally, Allah says in the Quran, فَمَنْ يَمُوْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَهُ وَمَنْ يَمُوْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرًّا يَرَهُ. And the meaning here would be that everybody will see on that day, meaning the day of judgment, they will see the good that they've done, even an atom's weight, and they will see the evil that they've done, even an atom's weight. So certainly this now brings us to another part of the difficulty of being a Muslim. It means that every good deed that we do, of course, is going to be recorded, but then, of course, also the bad deeds. The mercy or the grace of Allah comes in this beautiful way that this is recorded. Whenever a person commits a good deed, he has a reward of 10, because Allah tells us that in the Quran. In fact, even having the intention to do a good deed provides us with a full good deed, even before we've done it. Our Prophet, peace and blessing be upon him, told us that a man was passing by a village or some people, and he noticed them to be poor and starving, and he wished that he could help them, but he was in no better condition than they were. But because of the strong desire in his heart, look what he said. He said to himself, I wish I had provisions to give these people, like the size of that mountain over there. And then he went on about his business. On the day of judgment, he found provisions being offered to him that was recorded for him, a size of a mountain. He said, these are not mine. I didn't do this. I didn't give this kind of charity to anybody. And it was told to him, yes, you did. On the day that you saw those people in their condition, and you desired, a sincere desire to provide for them with provisions the size of a mountain, it was recorded for you as if you had done it. Now, this is amazing, isn't it? So this is something wonderful for the Muslim to know and understand, that Allah records according to our intentions. A hadith of our Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Inma al-amalu binniyat," that all and every deed, each and every single one of our deeds, is going to be judged by the intention. Because if there's not an intention to do good, then that will not be recorded as a good deed, regardless of how it comes out. But if there was an intention to do good, it will be recorded as good, regardless of the outcome. Because everything in Islam is based singularly and first, always, on the intention and the heart. And Allah knows best. Additionally, when we talk about this, we need to remind ourselves that when a person does a deed, it's recorded as 10 immediately. But when they do a bad deed, it's not recorded right away, because the angel who records the bad deeds is stopped by the angel who does record the good deeds. The angel who records the good deeds says, hold on a second. Maybe he's going to repent. Maybe he'll make tawbah. Maybe he will ask for forgiveness. And then after a while, the angel will begin to write it again as a bad deed. And the other one will stop him and say, wait. Maybe he will repent. Because if he does, if he said, astaghfirullah, Allah forgive me. Then Allah will not allow that to be written as a bad deed, if it was in sincerity and if he's serious about this. Consider, suppose somebody did something, suppose they lied, or suppose they took something that didn't belong to them. And this is horrible. This is very horrible, by the way, especially lying. But if he said, astaghfirullah, I'm sorry, I lied to you, I didn't tell you the truth, or I'm sorry, I took this, I want to give it back to you. If he did this, then it would not be considered as a bad deed. Now, if he has an intention to do a bad deed, but he never did it, then it won't be recorded, because he didn't actually do it. So we're not going to be judged against ourselves for bad intentions. Only good intentions will be recorded. But when a person does a bad deed, one bad deed is recorded, not 10. By the way, if a person has started to do something bad, but then they stop themselves before they do it, that's actually recorded as a good deed, because they stopped a bad deed. These are some of the things that the Muslim knows that help them to be a better Muslim, a good Muslim, to know that there is something called grace and mercy and forgiveness. But the hard part of being a Muslim is to overcome this desire for the material things and the desire to be something in this life that we're really not. We'll talk about this more when we come after this break. You're listening to Islam Today. I'm your host, Yusuf Estes. Right back after these words.
وجهت وجهي للذي فطر السماوات والأرض حنيفا وما أنا من المشركين. إن صلاتي ونسكي ومحياي ومماتي لله رب العالمين. لا شريك له وبذلك أمرت وأنا من المسلمين. اللهم أنت الملك لا إله إلا أنت. أنت ربي وأنا عبدك. ظلمت نفسي واعترفت بذنبي فاغفر لي ذنوبي جميعا. إنه لا يغفر الذنوب إلا أنت. واهدني لأحسن الأخلاق لا يهدي لأحسنها إلا أنت. واصرف عني سيئها لا يصرف عني سيئها إلا أنت. لبيك وسعديك والخير كله بيديك والشر ليس إليك أنا بك وإليك. تباركت وتعاليت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.
I have turned my face sincerely towards He who has brought forth the heavens and the earth, and I am not of those who associate others with Allah. Indeed, my prayer, my sacrifice, my life, and my death are for Allah, Lord of the worlds. No partner has He. With this I am commanded, and I am of the Muslims. O Allah, You are the sovereign. None has the right to be worshipped except You. You are my Lord, and I am Your servant. I have wronged my own soul, and have acknowledged my sin. So forgive me all my sins, for no one forgives sins except You. Guide me to the best of characters, for none can guide to it other than You. And deliver me from the worst of characters, for none can deliver me from it other than You. Here I am in answer to Your call, happy to serve You. All good is within Your hands, and evil does not stem from You. I exist by Your will and will return to You. Blessed and high are You. I seek Your forgiveness and repent unto You.
We're back. You're listening to Islam Today. We're talking about a question that was presented to us about the hardest part of being a Muslim. We talked about what the word Muslim meant, what it comes from, one who does Islam, which is the relationship and submission to God. Then we discussed in the last segment some of the difficulties and the problems that come along with submitting. And we talked about the material world and how we try to overcome some of the things. We talked about good deeds and bad deeds. But more than anything else, as a Muslim, we focus on something called the worship of the one true God. As a Muslim, we must always keep in mind that our worship, our devotion, our love, our sincerity is for God first. Because if we have that first, then logically it follows we would have a good relationship with the people and the creation. But if something is wrong with our relationship with the Almighty, then how could we expect that our relationship with others would be any good either? So for the correct deed to be in place, naturally you'd have to have the good intention, but at the same time, it would have to be for the sake of Allah. There's a rule in Islam which talks about the intention. We were talking about that in the last segment. But the intention has to be for Allah. Regardless of what your good intention is, it's not considered really a good intention unless it's for Allah. Consider this. Suppose somebody said, we need a hospital, and we'd like to have a hospital opened up to folks. It would be a free hospital. People could go there anytime. Okay? That's a good idea. But it will cost several million dollars. And if a person said, well, I can do a business deal and cheat a lot of people or rob a bank, and then I can get the money to build this hospital. In Islam, this was totally unacceptable. It would never be accepted from the person because this is not done in accordance with what Allah has ordered us. This is not in accordance with Islamic law. Therefore, Allah is not going to accept that as a good deed, and in fact, it's a bad deed. So for it to be good, it has to have two things. First of all, it has to have the intention, the correct intention, and second of all, it has to be within the confines of Islamic law or the Sharia of Islam. So, and that, by the way, is going to be based on two things, which is the Quran, the recitation of Allah, and the Sunnah or the Hadith of Prophet Muhammad, the teachings of our beloved Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, peace and blessings be upon him. So this discusses some of what it's like to be a Muslim, and it says the very hardest part of being a Muslim. Well, in today's world, I would have to say that the hardest part of being a Muslim really is trying to overcome the negative image that so many people have of Muslims, including, not the least of which, is the negative impression that even the Muslims have about themselves. Islam is perfect, without doubt. The submission to God is something that all religions teach to some extent. Islam is focusing on the purity of the concept of the God being one, unique, never in his creation, never imperfect, never doing anything that makes him no longer be the God. And Islam is focusing on worshiping him alone without any partners. So we know that this makes sense. But what about the Muslims? Today, the condition of the Muslims is weakened. Weakened very much by two things. Our Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, told us in a very often repeated story or hadith. He said that in the last day, our condition would be that we would be everywhere, like the scum on an ocean or a flood. We would be everywhere, and certainly we are. But we would be so weak that our enemies would call to us like people invite to come to a feast. One of his companions said, why will it be like this? How could it be like this? He said, because your condition will be that you will have so much love for the material world, and so much fear of death. And certainly that's what we see in the Muslims today. So if we as Muslims give up some of the love that we have for the material things, turn our focus back to our Lord, worshiping him, and stop worrying so much about when we're going to die, and worry more about how we're going to live, I think we'll all do a lot better. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us better Muslims, make it easy for us to be better Muslims, and accept from all of us. Ameen. Ameen. In Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, and you're listening to Islam Today. I'm your host, Yusuf Estes, and we'll look forward to the next time you visit us here on the Islamic Broadcasting Network. You can hear replays of our programs at IBN.net. Come and visit us there, and remember to tune in our program every Friday at 2 o'clock on IBN. IBN broadcasting on AM 700. Islam Today.
اللهم إني ظلمت نفسي ظلما كثيرا ولا يغفر الذنوب إلا أنت فاغفر لي مغفرة من عندك وارحمني إنك أنت الغفور الرحيم.
O Allah, I have indeed oppressed my soul excessively, and none can forgive sin except you. So forgive me a forgiveness from yourself, and have mercy upon me. Surely, you are the most forgiving, the most merciful.
This program has been sponsored by the Islamic Media Foundation, sharing the guidance of Allah through broadcast media and the internet.
IBN Radio is now live online. Log on to www.ibn.net to listen to our broadcast worldwide in the comfort of your home, office, or even while you're on the road, every weekday from 2 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That's www.ibn.net, the voice of American Muslims.
The following is NBA star Hakeem Olajuwon.
Conflict, confusion, loneliness, and doubt, they're all part of growing up. If you have problems like these, drugs would make them go away. Not marijuana, not crack, not LSD, not cocaine, not heroin. Drugs only make things worse. Stand up for your life. Don't do drugs. You are worth it.
This message is brought to you by your American Muslim neighbors.
This public service announcement is brought to you by the Islamic Media Foundation.
Sponsor a program on the Islamic Broadcasting Network, IBN. Expose your organization or business name to the listeners of IBN in the Washington, D.C. metro area and nationwide and worldwide through our live internet broadcast. Support IBN Dawah efforts. Make the call and sponsor a program today. Get your name into thousands of homes nationwide and worldwide. For more information, call IBN at 703-241-9659.
This is IBN, the Islamic Broadcasting Network. The following program is sponsored by the Islamic Media Foundation, sharing the guidance of Allah through broadcast media and the internet.
A matter of law.
With your host,
Ashraf Nubani.
Join us to discuss a matter of law.
Assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you. Welcome to another exciting edition of A Matter of Law with your host, Ashraf Nubani. I grew up in the United States and was born in Kuwait. I came to Chicago when I was 4 years old. And at the time, I remember as growing up in the United States, I didn't see a lot of Muslim and Arab lawyers. If you did, a lot of them either changed their names. Most of them took low profiles in the community, and the communities weren't the same communities as such. There were quite a few, and there are now, but the older generation of lawyers are still, you know, still take a sort of you know, a backseat you know, profile, and many of them actually have been distinguished over the years. But as time went on, you find now there are so many Muslims in law school. There are law students, and there are plenty of lawyers working both in the public interest, in the private sector, and in the government. And it's really exciting, and we have a great opportunity today to